Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here.
I'm
Greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, January the 14th, 2024. Now, as you probably all know, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by my most beloved family, the Spirit Alive family of servant leaders, in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Evangelist Michelle Scott, and we also have our elders in the house in the persons of Elder Lee and Elder Terry Larson. So on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to this morning's worship service, and we pray that your spirit will be uplifted and your soul will be blessed by this morning's worship service. At this time, we are going to ask that Bishop Lester Carver come forth and open us in prayer. Amen.
Amen, Apostle Cook. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our life, God. Father, we come before you humbly, just acknowledging your greatness. There is no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your graciousness and your mercy toward us, God. Father, we thank you for the health that you've given us and the strength that you've given us. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us so that we can always be moving closer and closer in our relationship with you, so that your presence in our life is an active force, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to embrace the fullness of the power of your Holy Spirit that you place within us as a result of your Son, Jesus Christ's obedience unto death, so that we could be one with you, so that we could reconcile the world back to full relationship and standing with you, so that those that you've called before the foundation of the world can be in full relationship with you and operate in the fullness of the power of your Holy Spirit. God, Father, I thank you for this worship service this morning. I thank you for the speaker being full of your power and full of your word.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for blessing the speaker with the grace that it takes to handle your word with skill, so that your people are delivered, so that your people are restored, so that your people are empowered, so that your people are healed. Father, allow all of us to be encouraged by what we hear today. And Father, I thank you for having the effect of us being able to share what we hear today with others. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let's take it back.
Hallelujah and glory to God.
Glory
what a blessed assurance just to know that God loves us. Jesus loves us. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask our highly esteemed mother of this assembly to come, and she will read to us from a powerful devotional. And this year, our devotional is a 365-day devotional, and it's by Sister Cal. And we're going to have Mother Mitchell come forth and read us our devotion for today. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or how far from me you are. Our devotion and inspirational reading this morning is titled, Free Indeed. We have freedom now because Christ made us free. So stand strong. Do not change and go back into the slavery of the law. And that's Galatians 5:1. Now, what does freedom mean to you? Some may see freedom as the opportunity to do whatever they want. Others may say freedom is limited because people are responsible for how their words and actions infringe upon those of others. Teenagers may equate freedom with a driver's license. Still others may associate freedom with the Declaration of Independence or the Bill of Rights. Then there's the gospel, the freedom to enter into a relationship with God. Can you imagine going backwards, though? No 16-year-old would really surrender a driver's license. The United States would not return to British rule. Yet many of us still labor under the shackles of sin, even though we have already received the Lord's forgiveness. Decide this year to truly accept the freedom from sin's power, which Jesus offered when he died on the cross. Don't go back to the slavery of trying to earn God's acceptance or be the perfect follower of Jesus. With God's help, you can know the freedom of his grace. May this be the year you fully embrace freedom in Christ and all that it means. Our inspirational prayer for the day. Thank you, God, for the freedom of forgiveness, acceptance, and adoption that you extend to me through Jesus. What an incredible source of peace. Amen. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the reader, hearers, and doers of his holy and awesome word. Amen and amen.
Holy is your word that I've hidden in my heart.
I've hid in my heart.
Holy,
huh? Say it like you mean it. Come on.
From
the start.
Sharp like a sword.
Holy
is your word that cannot be ignored. He that have any spend time in the Word. Yeah. Anything you need. It knows what's on your heart.
Oh, hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. Saints of God, it is now time for this morning's church announcements. Hallelujah. I wanted to start to do church announcements because, one, I wanted to make sure that our listeners are well aware of what's going on at the Spirit Alive Network, as well as in your communities, because the servant leaders here at Spirit Alive just don't practice on Sunday or perform on Sunday. These ministers are out in the trenches. They are ministering to the lost. They are meeting the needs of others. They are, hallelujah, living this life every day. So I just feel it's very important that we are able to pray for and celebrate with the servant leaders here at Spirit Alive as they go forth in their work of the kingdom. Now, here on the Spirit Alive Network, on tomorrow, in observance of Martin Luther King Day, taking it to the streets, War Room will be open, and we're going to be praying like Martin Luther King Jr. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We knew his prayers were powerful, and we see them being answered even to this day. And then on Tuesday, I cordially invite you to join Bishop Lester Carver for his Tuesday night's teaching. And this week it is entitled Health and Healing. I am sure this is going to be a teaching that we can all use and we will be blessed from. And then on Wednesday, the 17th, please join Apostle Zeta Flowers for All Nations Bible Study, where this week she will be presenting Spiritual Joy Part 2. So if you're feeling kind of low or you're feeling as though you've lost your joy, please tune in on Wednesday night, and I assure you that the apostle will have a word that will bless you.
Amen.
And then on Friday, hallelujah, our bishop, Lester Carver, will take the mic up once again, and he will have a special guest, Elder Daniel Newman, and these gentlemen will be bringing an amazing teaching on grace. Hallelujah. And then on Saturday, you can always tune in at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time to hear Minister Adam Tuggle for the summit. This will also be the time that we will keep you apprised of upcoming conferences. We will keep you apprised of special prayer meetings, etc. And we just pray that you will govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. Now, it comes the time that I feel is one of the most important times of our service. It's prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together collectively, and we go individually, taking our supplications, our petitions, and our intercessions to the Lord for our brothers and sisters all over the world. Because we need for you to know and understand that although we live in America, we are still concerned about the things that may be going on in your neck of the woods. We are concerned about those war-torn areas. We are concerned about those areas that have been ravaged by natural disasters. We are concerned about our homeless, and we are concerned about those who are hurting. And, of course, we are concerned about the lost. And we also want you to know that when we pray here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, we pray, hallelujah, expecting, trusting, and believing that God will do exactly what he says he will do. So at this time, I'm going to ask that you bow your hearts and prepare to go to God's throne of grace with his anointed apostle, Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, and God bless you. Let us go into prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning asking, Lord, that you would forgive us of any sins
or anything that might be displeasing to you this morning. We ask that you would surface it and allow us to fix it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. We thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for that. We thank you for your love. Hallelujah. Yeah. We thank you for your undying love, your everlasting love. We thank you, hallelujah, because it is for all of us, no matter where we are, hallelujah, no matter what we have done. We know that we have your love, and we thank you for that today. And we lift up others today. We lift up people all over the world in the name of Jesus, yeah, asking, Lord, that you would bless. In the name of Jesus, that you would step into these situations, Lord, hallelujah, the tragedies, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, those that are grieving their loss this morning, we ask that you would bless them. We ask that you would comfort them in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, those that have heads, hallelujah, hung down. We ask that you would lift them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We pray that you would instill hope today in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, bless your people everywhere in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those that are in situations where there have been natural causes, earthquakes, tornadoes, all kinds of things that have left many people without, hallelujah, they're in disastrous situations. We pray, Lord, that you will remember them today, that you would touch, hallelujah, that you would send forth your help, God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus, that you would send food, clothing, hallelujah, whatever they might need, water, hallelujah, those that are in situations where they can't get water. We pray, Lord, that you will send forth pure water for them in the name of Jesus. And we just pray, Lord, hallelujah, that they will be lifted in the name of Jesus. Touch, Lord, everywhere. Hallelujah. Those that are in hospitals, we pray, Lord, that you will go to their bedside, that you will minister to their needs in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, that you would raise up many in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We pray that you would move in a miraculous way, God, hallelujah, in a supernatural way as you do. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that many will be helped on this day in Jesus' name, all over the world. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Those that are affected, hallelujah, by many situations, we ask, Lord, for your help. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, we come against those, Lord, that are continuing to harm others, hallelujah, those that are just killing people that are innocent and all kinds of things that are happening, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We know that the enemy is raging, hallelujah, but we know that you are more powerful, hallelujah. And we pray, Lord, that we will exercise our faith, hallelujah, in even greater ways, hallelujah, and the power that you have given us, that we take authority over these things in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that we pull down the strongholds in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you, hallelujah. And we ask, Lord, to remember those that are unsaved in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in our households, in our communities, hallelujah, all around us, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, and across the nations, hallelujah. We pray that many souls will come to you in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, that many will turn from their wicked ways, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh God, that many, hallelujah, will want to be saved, want to be transformed. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Touch them. Hallelujah. Draw them by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Oh, do it, God. Hallelujah. Those that are bound in sin, we pray that they will be loosed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the enemy's hands. Hallelujah. That they will look to you, God, in the name of Jesus, that they will realize and know that there is a better way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a way. Hallelujah. And that way is through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus. Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. And you are our hope. You are everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for your hand of protection upon our children. Hallelujah. Our babies. In the name of Jesus, that you will protect them from the enemy. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, that we have heard again, hallelujah, about the large number of those victims that were in the trafficking situations. We pray, we thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for hearing our prayers and freeing them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that many others will be rescued by your hand in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Those that are in prison and jails and juvenile halls, we pray, Lord, that they will be ministered to as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you will touch in their lives, that they will turn toward you, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That they will repent, hallelujah, of their sins. Hallelujah. Their past and their present sins, God, and turn their lives over to you in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
And, we pray that for those that are listening in all over the world and across the nation this morning, we pray for them, Lord, hallelujah, that they will be blessed by your word today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, that the word, we know that your word does not go out void. So we pray, Lord, that your word will penetrate, hallelujah, hallelujah, that it will touch, hallelujah, the very core.
Yes.
Hallelujah, of their hearts in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you for that. We thank you. Hallelujah. We pray for Spirit of Life Ministries and all the other ministries that are connected. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue to bless, that you will continue to move in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, that every single need will be met. And we thank you. We praise you for it. And if there is any sick among us today, we ask, Lord, that you would touch, that you would heal. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We pray for those that need deliverance on today, that they will be delivered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That they will be free. Hallelujah. Free of the traps that have kept them. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, from serving you and from being in your will. We ask, Lord, that you will loose, hallelujah, their hope in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. We praise you in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Can I take you back some more? This is called I Belong to You. Why don't you take me, make me what you want me to be? I belong. Everything I am,
I belong.
And everything.
alone. Mind, body, and soul. Why don't you take me? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hey. You see, you saved my soul. From a burning hell, oh yes you did. And right now, I'm so glad I could tell. Yeah. Yes I do. Really do. Yes. Show enough I do. Yours all alone. Hey man, break me down. Break me down. See, you're the spirit that lets me sleep at night. Then I wake up early in the morning. Yes, I do. I came to Jesus. Just as I want. I was weary. I was worn. But I found in him a sweet old resting place. Anybody else found that place?
Yes.
From that day to this one, the Lord has made me glad. Y'all help me sing right here. I'm in
hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's message. But before I begin first, I'd like to give honor to God and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give honor to the anointed servant leaders of this assembly and to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. May the love, joy, and peace of God abide with you always. Let us pray. Almost High, come before your throne of grace once again. Just asking that if I said, done, thought, anything, that you would just forgive me of my sin, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit so that I might stand and deliver your word with conviction. Lord, I pray that you would have me to completely decrease so that you might have all the increase. Because, Lord, my only desire in bringing these teachings is so that others will come to know you and the pardon of their sin and for them to live a more abundant life in you. So, Lord, I ask that you bless our message and you bless the hearers and you bless me, the speaker. In your holy and righteous name I do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, the first chapter. Yes, saints, we are continuing on our transformational journey through the book of Ephesians, because last week we began our study of Paul's letter to them, and we saw that God has blessed us with every spiritual gift or every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And last week I also mentioned that Paul went on to name some of these spiritual blessings, and I even listed a few of them for you. So today, we're going right back to Ephesians chapter 1, because I want to begin to go down that list, taking these things one at a time, so we can glean some nuggets from them and with the aid of the Holy Spirit, because saints, I came to tell you, without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to understand any of this. So I want us to begin in Ephesians chapter 1, and we are going to begin reading at verse 3. We'll read verses 3 through 6. And the Word of God declares, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." All right. Hallelujah. This morning, I came to tell somebody that you have been chosen. Oh, hallelujah. Because the Word of God declares here that it says, as I just read, blessed be. You know, Paul was good at getting his praise on. He really was. He really was good at praising his Lord and Savior. He was. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." And then he lists that first blessing. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to his kind intention of his will." Now, in this passage of scripture, we come to a word that has caused a lot of debate, confusion, and even dissension in the church over the past couple of centuries. But if we are to study the book of Ephesians, we can't skip over this or handle it clumsily. You see, we have a duty to sharpen our focus and to ask the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our understanding so that we can deal with this subject matter honestly. Now, here is the troublesome phrase. Here's the phrase that has everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of people in an uproar. It says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." So here's how we're going to break these verses down today for the sake of clarity. First, we need to understand that he chose us. Then we need to know and understand why he chose us. And it's also a good thing to know what he has planned for his chosen. And finally, we'll look at why he did this. Amen. Now, they're really, the first thing we're going to look at is the fact that he chose us. There are really two words in today's text that refer to this same point of doctrine. One of them is chose, that we see here in verse 4, and the other is that dreaded P word, predestinated, in verse 5. Now, before we go on, I'd like to have us look at a couple of other scriptures, passages of scripture that relate to this same issue. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 says, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then Paul declares in Romans tells us in chapter Romans 8, verses 29, you know this scripture, that God works all things. So our main focus will continue to be on Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. But the things that are said in these verses can help us to get a better grip. So we will refer back to them along the way. Okay, hallelujah. That was 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 14, and Romans 8, 29 and 30. Amen. So just keep those scriptures, your finger on those scriptures, or just go back and read those scriptures. Now, let me say before we venture further, however, that this debate of predestination and whether we are saved because we chose to be or whether we had any choice in the matter at all, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is a relatively recent debate. You see, Christians and Christian preachers of earlier Christianity had, it seems, a lot less problem with just letting God be God and accepting that they didn't have to have all the answers. You know, I personally don't want to have all the answers because I don't think that I would feel very comfortable worshiping a God that I could explain every aspect of. I think that God would be too small if I could completely understand everything about him. In the scripture, I see God saying of himself, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, in the 11th chapter of Romans, verses 33 through 36, once again, as I just said, Paul breaks into one of his very, very, very frequent anthems of praise and says, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who was first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Oh, hallelujah. But I want you to hold the phone for a second, because I want to offer a friendly warning here. Beloved, if you ever encounter a preacher or a Bible teacher who presumes to fully understand this question of predestination and God's choices versus our choices, and he or she does not readily admit to you that it's somewhat of a mystery to all of us, then what you need to do is smile politely, say no thank you, and then you turn and run just as fast as your legs can carry you.
Yes.
Because personally, I can only tell you what the Bible tells me. It tells me that God, before the foundation of the world, chose those who would be saved, and that he predestined them to be adopted as his children, and that his plan for those he chose was that they would be, first and foremost, conformed to the image of his son, that they would be holy and blameless before him, that they would walk in the good works he prepared for them in advance, according to the second chapter of Ephesians, verse 10, and that they should be glorified and have a place in his presence forever through the faith in the shed blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, I don't know about you, but I have no trouble at all believing that God, who exists from eternity to eternity all at once, the God that sees everything all of the time from beginning to end at a glance, knew who would respond to his call. He knew who would repent and believe his gospel, and he planned their lives accordingly. But I need for you to understand that his knowing did not force anyone's decision. So he is therefore just in holding each one of us accountable for the decisions that we make. Now, whether we can agree that we each had complete free will in deciding, or that ultimately we had no choice at all because the Lord had determined that beforehand, who would be saved and who would not, I don't care. This I will boldly declare to you: God himself and himself alone is God. He is the potter. We are the clay. He is who he is, and he will do as his will deems fit. And I have the promise of his word right here in our text today that his will is determined by kind intentions towards us. Now, that's a good enough explanation for me. But before I go on to the next point, let me share with you an illustration that you may have heard before, but I'm telling you, it helped me a great deal in coming to terms and being at peace with this issue. And after a minute, I realized it wasn't really complicated at all. Someone said to me, picture yourself walking into heaven. And as you approach the gate, you look up, and over the entrance to heaven is a sign that says, "Let all who will enter in." Now, after you pass through the gate and your eyes are taking in all of the splendors of the celestial realm, you turn back and look at the gate that you just come through, and there, over the top of it, is a sign that says, "Chosen before the foundation of the world." Hallelujah. See, it doesn't matter to me that God chose me, or I, before the foundation of the world, during the foundation of the world. All that matters to me is that he chose me.
Yes.
Paul has declared the following, following his blessings offered up to the God and the Father and our Lord, that he has blessed us with every spiritual gift in heavenly places. And then the list begins. And that gift, the first gift that we have, is to be chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Now let's talk about why he chose us. He chose us that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now, I'm aware that some translations include the words "in love" at the end of that sentence. Apparently some of the manuscripts do, while others end the sentence at him and begin the next with in love, etc. I would just say that in my own understanding of the text, in love seems to go better with the thought of verse 5 than as an ending to the sentence in verse 4. But I also don't think it's a major issue. So you take it in any way that you are comfortable with, and we're not going to spend any more time right there. Some may have a much larger problem with this assertion of Paul's, that the reason he chose us was that he should be, so that we should be holy and blameless before him. Wow. Now, if that's what he expects as payment or gratitude for being chosen, then having been chosen may not be such of a blessing after all. I mean, who can really be holy and blameless? In fact, haven't we all fallen short? Haven't we all failed some test even before we knew that we were being tested? So that's not fair. And fortunately for us, it's also not true. To take the phrase that we should be holy and blameless before him and extract from this the thought that Paul is telling us is how we should be trying to live in response to his choosing us would absolutely violate the very doctrine of justification by faith alone. You see, he chose us because he wanted us to be holy and blameless. In the second chapter of Ephesians in verses 1 and 5, Paul mentions with no further explanation or apology that apart from Christ, we were dead in our transgressions. A study of the first three chapters of this same apostle's letter to the Romans also establishes that mankind is all under the sentence of, we are all under the sentence of death due to sin. We were not and could not be holy or blameless ever. I don't care in all of our attempts. Even if we were vaguely interested in being holy or blameless to begin with, could we be holy and blameless? But, you know, and I tell you another reason, we could be, even if we wanted to be holy and blameless, the Word of God tells us that we were not interested in being holy and blameless before we came to the Lord. But I want you to know that these words, holy and blameless, can also be rendered sacred and without blemish. Never could we have begun to make ourselves sacred or without blemish so that we can be acceptable and fit to enter into God's presence. But there is ample evidence in all of Paul's letters that it is God who, having chosen us and called us, when we responded by faith to that call, he then cleansed us and called us and justified us or made us right with him because of the sacrifice of his only begotten son, Jesus.
On the cross, yes. Amen.
Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Now, there are other many proof verses, but I think the one that we're studying right now will suffice. God chose us before the foundation of the world because he wanted us to be not dead in trespasses and sin, but he wanted us to be alive and to be clean and above reproach and set apart for him through the blood of his son, Jesus.
Yes.
That's why we are holy, made holy and without blemish in Christ. And so that's what he made us. Now let's talk about what he plans for his chosen. Listen to me, child of God. Can you just for a moment lay aside your ideologies in connection with your relationship to your earthly father? That is, if you had a relationship at all. Whether good or bad, I want to ask you to make a conscious effort to separate any concept or misconception you may have about fatherhood or your history with your own father. Next, I want you to pretend for a moment that the word father applies only to God and no one else. And now I want you to see what kind of father he is. In Exodus 34, he proclaims to Moses, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. To the Athenian philosopher on Mars Hill, Paul declares a God who desires fellowship with his creation. Hallelujah. He himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live, we move, and we have our very being or existence.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
And we know from 2 Peter 3 and 9 that God's seeming slowness in keeping his promise to return is because he is not wishing for any of us to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. He wants our company. And more than that, he wants to lavish the riches of his grace on us. He wants us to be heirs and joint heirs with his beloved son, Christ Jesus. So in love, he predestined us to the adoptions as son through Jesus Christ to himself. Can you see there why I believe the words in love belong to verse 5? People of God, it is the sin nature still in rebellion against God and his will that insists. You know, it's when we're in that we insist upon seeing God as cold or unkind or stern or ungracious or impatient or angry. Because deep down somewhere inside, we know if we were truthful about our condition, we would expect him to be that way. And this is the image that has been painted of God in many ways for us and by us. Some of us learned it in Sunday school. Some of us learned it subconsciously by equating God with an evil earthly father. Some of us think of God that way because the people who represented God to us, whether it was that pastor, that parent, that Sunday school teacher, or other church leaders, they were that way themselves. Okay? Now, if you are a Christian, and by that I mean if you fit the biblical definition of a Christian, you know, you are a person who has recognized their sin and their need for a Savior. Hallelujah. You understand that Jesus shed his blood and died to pay for your sin. Hallelujah. Do you understand that through your faith in him, you have been lifted up out of the grave? Hallelujah, just as he was lifted up. and now live. He lives to impart that life in us. That Christian who believes that God is coming back to take you to heaven. Now, if you are a Christian by those standards, then we must let his Holy Spirit and the teaching of the word convince us and change our minds forevermore about that false image.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to make a conscious effort to look at God as he reveals himself throughout his word, throughout scripture. That means from the beginning of God to the amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And let him show you that he is gracious, that he is compassionate, he's merciful, he's patient, he's a heavenly father, abounding in loving kindness and goodness, and he yearns, yes, yearns for all of us to be with him.
Yeah.
So in love, he predestined us to the adoption of as sons through Jesus Christ. To what? Mm-hmm. Himself. No wonder Paul picked this as one of the first spiritual blessings to put on the list. We didn't choose God. We chose sin and self. We chose the world, the flesh, and the devil. Oh, we chose pride and rebellion and all sorts of evil things. We chose death and hell. But oh, hallelujah and glory, God himself chose us.
Yeah.
And thank God, he chose us knowing every sin we would ever commit up to the last breath we take in this life. He chose us knowing these things even before he created us.
Yes.
When he could have changed his mind, huh? And there would have been no one. But and look, he could have changed his mind and no one would have known but him. We wouldn't have known the difference because there would have been no one to know except perhaps the angels. None of us would be here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He could have altered the plan and determined that he would not give us the freedom to choose. But he didn't. When he could have determined that he would create us and allow us to sin and then decree that we must strive in our own power to once again become holy and blameless before him or suffer the consequences, he didn't do that. Instead, he chose us.
Mm-hmm.
He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be the recipients of his loving kindness, his goodness, and his mercy. He chose us to be made spotless and pure by the power of the blood of his only begotten son and to be adopted through him to himself and to the heavenly family. Hallelujah. Now let's finish by discussing what made him do this. Well, we've really already been talking about that. He did all of this according to his kind intention of his will toward us. And I chose to word the fourth point the way that I did because it comes rather foreign to our minds to think that God being, you know, think of God being made to do anything. But you have to understand. There are things that God cannot do. And therefore, he is held to certain things by his own character, his nature, and his attributes. You see, God cannot lie. His own nature makes him all truth and all truthful. God cannot change. His eternal nature makes him remain the same in the sense that change takes time and God transcends time. There is no time with God. He has the power to stop time on its axis. And God cannot deny himself. And this attribute of his nature makes him declare to himself, to his creation, he declared himself in nature. He declared himself through the prophets and through his law. He declared himself through the feast and the order of ordinances. And finally, he declared himself through his son. And we know this because Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one.
Oh,
and
yes.
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
So what made him choose us and predestine us to adopt us? It was nothing less than the kind intention of his will. You see, God is love. And despite the blackness of our sin and the fierceness of our rebellion, he remains love. He cannot change. And I want you to observe once again that he freely bestowed his grace on us in the beloved, meaning his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And once again, Paul returns to his basic and fundamental theme. All that we have, all that we are, and all that God has done to and for and in and through us is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. All that we are is because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All that God has done for us, to us, for us, in us, and through us, is because of his son, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God says,
yeah.
To the praise of glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in Christ, and according to the kind intentions of his eternal, unchanging will, God, our perfect heavenly Father, chose us before the foundation of the world to be his children, to be holy, to be spotless, and perfectly acceptable to him because Jesus paid the price. Jesus
yeah.
gives us life, and Jesus
yeah.
introduced us to grace. Hallelujah. We now have pardon for sin and a peace that surpasses all understanding and endures to the end. Hallelujah. God gives us strength for today and a bright hope for tomorrow. Hallelujah. When we live in the presence of the Most High God, knowing how much God loves us, knowing that God only wants the very best for us, then it should be easy to walk after his precepts. When we have the mind of Christ in us, it gets easier to obey him. When we have the word of God, Christ the Logos in us, it will be our desire to be pleasing to God. It will be our desire to want to hang out with God. And when we say we are chosen, we do not say we're chosen in a braggadocious way. We're not being boastful about being chosen. We are saying, oh, hallelujah, I thank you, Lord God, because
yeah.
you chose me when I didn't even have enough
yeah.
sense. Because you love me when I didn't even have enough sense to love myself. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, that you saw my worth even when I did not. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus,
yeah.
that you knew I couldn't do this in and of myself, but you gave me your son. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to bless me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I'm glad that you
yes.
placed your Holy Spirit within me so that I can learn your precepts. I can learn your ways. I can learn what your good and perfect will is for my life. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And thank you, mm-hmm. Lord, for keeping me. For great, oh God, is thy faithfulness. Amen.
Yes.
And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus.
Amen.
I pray that you receive something from this word today that blessed you. And right now I'm going to, and I just pray that you would just remember, you know, when we know that God chose us, we won't be running around actively trying to perform our way into the kingdom. We won't let the enemy take us down dark rabbit holes every time we fall short, because we know that we can go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive us. He will cleanse us. What a wonderful assurance to know that when we come to the Lord, we don't have to clean up ourselves. We don't have to try to make ourselves fit, because we have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Vanessa to come in, and I will ask that she seal this teaching with prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Apostle Cook, and everyone listening. I just thank you, Lord, today for the vessel that poured into us, Lord, and took your word and made it real and applicable. And I thank you, Lord, today that those that are standing at a place of deciding to believe what they have heard and what they will read, Lord, bless their lives and strengthen them today. I pray, Lord, today
yes.
that based on the word in Ephesians and in Romans and Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, that we begin to study for ourselves and that we begin to go to the word and understand what it is like, what it means to be in agreement and knowing who we are. For those, I see this message, Lord, as a message of those who may be struggling with identity, and it's just like Apostle Cook
yes.
has said, they just find themselves in this turmoil all the time and conflict. But I thank you, Lord, today at the end of the day, they draw themselves to the word. You draw them to your
yes.
word, and they stay there. They stay there so that everything that they may be confronting, everything that they may be hearing or seeing, Father God, that they can take every thought captive and subject it to the obedience of Christ. And that based on what we heard today, Lord, today, that this will be a a sounding board, a place where they can get the origin of what they do need to understand and what they don't understand. I thank you, Lord, today that many times when your word comes, it's a place to understand what we it exposes things, where we are versus where we should
yes.
be. So I just thank you, Lord, today,
mm-hmm.
the spirit of
yes.
that it was not in void. It's like your word would not turn back void, but it's not in vain. This message is not in vain. I thank you, Lord, today for all the things, Lord, that we will encounter this week. Bless your people, Lord, as you continue to do. You don't change your mind because we don't know who we are. You don't change your mind because we don't understand things.
Hallelujah.
So I just thank you, Lord, today for you being sovereign in all this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You were chosen before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. God gives us free will choice. And right now, I'm talking to every person within the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus, has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You have a choice to make today. Christ has already chosen you. Now, will you choose him today? Will you come and make him your Lord and Savior? Will you receive the many blessings that are in store for you just in coming into a relationship with Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ? Now, if something is pulling at your heartstrings today, and you believe I'm talking to you, don't allow you to talk you out of it. What I'm going to ask that you do to begin this wonderful relationship is bow your heart.
Yes.
Because the Word of God declares, John 3:16, if you never learn another scripture, this one will get you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if today you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he came, he died, and he rose for your sin, if you believe that God, if you truly believe that and understand that God wants to be in relationship with you, you don't have to wait until you get all dressed up and go into a building. You don't have to wait until you fix yourself up. See, the devil likes to make people think we got to do some work just so we can go to him. And as I said, you heard me say in my message, we couldn't be holy if we wanted to be.
Yes.
So what I'm asking you to do is just come to Christ, because he will accept you just as you
just
are.
As you
and
are.
He will begin
Amen.
To do a good work in you. He will begin to clean you up. He has declared you holy. He has declared you righteous. Hallelujah. And so to begin this wonderful experience, and it's a lifetime experience, thanks to God.
Yes.
All you have to do is go to him with a bowed heart and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Now, you confess that you're a sinner because that's your way of knowing you're in need of a Savior.
Yeah.
I'm a sinner. And then you want him to let him know that you're going to you are now repenting of your sin. You see the error of your way. So that's why I ask you to say, please forgive me of my sin. And then reiterate to him that you know who he is, because I believe that you're the Son of God. Hallelujah. Sent by the Father to save the world. And then God, it never hurts to let, to let the Lord know that you're in it to win it for life. So you might say, well, now, Lord, come into my life and save me and teach me, because I want to live for you from this day forward. I commit everything that I do to you. Mm-hmm. And I pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen, and thank you, Jesus. Now, however your heart led you to pray that prayer, and you prayed that prayer, and you were sincere in that prayer, all I have left to say to you is welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I know, and let me tell you right now, you are about to be so blessed, because, see, when you come to Jesus, guess what? He sends the welcome wagon to meet you right where you're at. And that welcome wagon is also known as the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And that Holy Spirit will begin to teach you the things of God. Hallelujah. It will begin to bring revelation and understanding to your life. It will give purpose to your life, joy, peace. Hallelujah. All these things come into your life through the welcome wagon. Not to mention your salvation, your faith, all of that. All of that comes with God's welcome wagon, the Holy Spirit. So I just want to, I praise God for all who just gave their life to Christ. And at this time, I'm going to ask Evangelist Michelle Scott to come forth and pray for our new converts in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, just a moment.
All right.
All right, Evangelist.
You can hear me now?
Michelle, I got you. Yes, baby.
Okay. If we could all close our eyes and bow our heads and humble our hearts as we lift these new converts up to the Lord. Father God, we come to you now, first of all, just thanking you for blessing us with that message. Father God,
yes,
we ask that each and every one near and far that heard the message on today will just wrap it around them several times. Keep it in their heart. Keep it in their mind so that when they're feeling a little lost and lonely, Father God, bring that message back to their remembrance so that they can remember, I am chosen. I'm special. I'm a child of God. So, Father God, we lift each and every convert up to you today. We even lift the ones that decided to give their lives back to Christ, so they're just coming back home. Father God, we love each and every one of them. We pray that their feet will be led to a church home, a broadcast, wherever the word of God is being preached by a servant leader, a head, a pastor, or whatever they're calling themselves by, Father God, I ask that he or she be crowned with wisdom and are preaching your word and not their own, Father God. We have so many false prophets down here because time is winding up and your children are coming home. Just as you want all of us to be in heaven with you, Father God, they're coming home. Some of them a little bit slower than others. So we just ask that you direct and guide their feet somewhere where they will be wrapped in love. They will be patient with them as they're learning. It doesn't matter if they're 2 or 92, Father God. We're all in different levels, Father God. Some of us are still on milk, Father God. Some of us are eating meat, Father God. Some of us are just on water. So we just thank you right now for each and every part. Each and every soul that placed their hand in your hand right now, Father God. And we ask that you just bless each and every one of them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Father God, we ask that they would have a stiff spine, Lord God, because it's going to be hard out there. Bless them with a stiff spine so they can stand tall and firm in your word. So if anybody tries to come up against them, Satan and his angels, that they will be able to stand up to them. We just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your most holy and righteous name. And to each of you new converts, welcome home.
Amen. Amen. Now, at this time, saints of God, this is also a very important time to us here at Spirit Alive, because this is now time for us to bring forth our bishop, Bishop Lester Carver, and each and every Sunday, he has a special word for our brothers. You know, when you go to a lot of churches, you see a whole lot of women. And at a lot, many times you see a lot of women and very few men. But we want the men that listen to us to know that we love you and we want you to be always in your rightful place. So, Bishop Lester, won't you now come forth with your word for the men for today?
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. The word for the men today is that we are more than conquerors through God who loved us. And I want to take this particular scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, where it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? We have to understand that we are more than conquerors because of God's love for us. And there are things about God that we need to know. We need to know that God is not a man that he should lie. God is spirit. We need to know that God is not the son of man that he should lie. We need to know that God is present everywhere. So there is nowhere where we're going to be where we're going to be without the power or presence of God. We're going to need to know that God is all powerful and that there is nowhere where we're going to be where the power of God, unlimited power, is not going to be with us. And we're also going to need to know that the knowledge of God, who is all-knowing, he is the only being in all creation who knows the past, present, and future. So what is special about being the called according to God's purpose is that before the beginning of time, God knew that you were going to say yes to making his son Jesus Christ your master and Lord. And he also knew those who were going to reject the payment for their sin, but you are not among those. So as a child of God, as a man of God, it is time for us to walk boldly into what he's called us to be, knowing that God knew before the foundation of the world that we were going to say yes to him. That is the word for the men today.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We have been in the midst of a beautiful service this morning. I pray that you all heard a word that blessed you. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity each and every Sunday to come together with my ministry family in unity and love and disciple God's people. So on behalf of myself, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, our Apostle Zeta Flowers, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Deacon William Isabel, our elders, Sister Nita, Sister Linda, Brother Lee and Sister Terry, we pray that you will write this word, God's word, upon the fleshy tables of your heart. Hallelujah. Study it. Pray according to it. And we can all say that with no uncertainties that you will be the better for it. Hallelujah. So if there
Amen.
Be nothing else, now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you govern yourselves according to the church announcements, and that and from our house to your house, it is our very, very, very fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Have a beautiful and blessed rest of your day. Hallelujah. And we'll see you right back here tomorrow at 6 o'clock p.m. Love you. God bless you.
Amen.
Have a wonderful day. Everybody, you're unmuted. So bye, Anita. Bye, Linda. Bye, Lee and Cherry. Bye, everybody. I love you very much. It's good to see you, Sister Michelle.
You
I'll be calling you shortly.
Love you.
Amen.
Thank you.
I love,
love
you,
you
all.
Guys. Have a great week.
Love you.
Love
Have
you
a nice
all.
Week, everybody.
Be blessed.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Have a nice week.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.